Matthew chapter 21, if you have your Bibles tonight, Gospel of Matthew chapter 21. I forgot to mention earlier, but do be praying for the guys over at the jail and the jail ministry and our street ministry. We were over at the jail last night and had a great time, great service. Always seems to be just such a great service over there. Really seems like there's always kind of a supernatural liberty to preach in that place. I don't know. It's just, it just seems like they're just thirsty for the word, and it seems like there's always a lot of conviction. And I'm really praying for those guys, praying the Lord work in their heart and they'll get saved. And there's a few of them you feel you don't always know what the Lord's doing really in anybody's heart, but there's kind of a few of them that you can always just. You think you can just see, it just seems like the Lord's really working in their heart. They walk away just under deep conviction, seem like every week. And so I'm really praying for some of those men and appreciate your prayers for them as well. And our street ministry, Lord, help us to be faithful in those things and bless those things in these days. And I'm thankful we're able to do them and able to go and preach and it's a blessing. So anyways, but tonight in Matthew chapter 21, I want to give you maybe a message out of a verse here and pray to be a blessing and a help to us. If you'll look in Matthew 21, and we'll start reading in verse number 12 just to kind of get the gist of where we're at in the passage here, and then we'll kind of zero in on a verse and give some thoughts out of that verse. But in Matthew chapter 21, verse number 12, it says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there." And I'm interested here in verse number 15 where it says, "When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased." And I want to maybe give some thoughts tonight regarding this thought on how will you or how would you respond to Jesus? What we see here in this passage and in that verse, we see the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, we see their response to Christ, how they, how they responded just to Him being who He is, really. And I guess kind of the context here, just to kind of give us some backstory and get us up to speed where we are, what's just taken place at the first part of this chapter is Jesus has made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He has sent his disciples to find that ass, that donkey with the colt tied to it, and retrieve it and brought it to him. And then he's sat on that donkey and he's rode into Israel, rode into the city of Jerusalem rather, and made his triumphant entry into the city there, and it talks specifically, matter of fact, in verse 9, it says, "And the multitudes that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And so this great multitude is gathering, and they're crying out, Hosanna, to the Son of David. And they're really just cheering him on, making a big ado out of him coming into Jerusalem. And then he comes into the temple here. We see that in verse 19, or verse 12 rather, that he comes into the temple of God. And he cleanses. This is the second time that he cleanses and purifies the temple. He overthrows the tables and runs out the money changers. And he makes that famous or well-known statement that, you know, the house of God's to be, you know, a house of prayer. They've made it a den of thieves and things like that. And so he cleanses and purifies the temple. And while all these things are taking place, as he's healing people in the temple and just doing all these miraculous things, these wonderful things, the Bible says, the chief priests and the scribes, the religious crowd, the religious leaders and authorities of this time, they're taking it all in and watching it just like everybody else is. And the Bible specifically says that the way they respond to everything that's going on is not with excitement. And not with joy and not with happiness and gratitude, and they're not praising Him, and they're certainly not responding with worship. Instead, the Bible specifically says that they were sore displeased. They responded with great displeasure concerning all the things that Jesus was doing. And so that's why I ask the question whenever we look at this, look at the situation, look at what's going on here. We ought to search our hearts and ask ourselves, how would we respond? How would we respond if He were to walk into our church and begin working in our church? How would you respond to Jesus if He were to walk into your life and start working in your life? I mean, certainly He has, if you're saved, He has, you know, He's began to work in your life. But you know, that work is carried on. And people, even saved people, whenever the Lord starts working in their life, working in the areas of their life, they don't always respond with worship and praise and gratitude. Sometimes we respond with sore displeasure. Isn't that right? When Jesus gets to working and gets to moving. Now, in regards to the lost man, the way a person responds towards the Lord Jesus Christ, it does two things. First of all, it discloses their heart. It manifests who they really are and where their heart is. A lot of people claim to be saved and say they're going to heaven and even may seem to be very religious, but how they respond to Jesus really discloses where their heart is at. So it discloses their heart, but then it also determines their destiny. It settles and determines where they're going to wind up and what their destiny really is going to be based on how they respond to Christ. That's for everybody, and that's for certainly the lost person. But, you know, for us as saved people, when the Lord begins work in our life, we have to respond in the right way as well. And in this verse, what we see is the reaction of the chief priests and the scribes to Jesus. And they're the religious leaders of the day, yet they rejected Him in spite of His goodness. The Bible specifically says they'd saw all the wonderful things that He did, and they still responded with displeasure. And that's amazing to us that we would look at that and we'd say, well, that's crazy that they would respond that way. But the truth is, there's a lot of people in churches that respond the same way when Jesus begins to work within their life or within a church or within, you know, when Jesus begins to work. And so I want to give you three things out of this verse regarding the response to Jesus or how you would respond to Jesus. First of all, in the verse we see where it says the wonderful things. He did wonderful things. And in that, what we see is the performance of Christ. We see the way He was performing. He was performing wonderful things and doing great, wonderful things. And where we're at here is this time period is just before, just a few days, in fact, before the crucifixion. That's where we are. We're getting close to the cross. And Jesus has made His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He's cleansed the temple the second time. And everything Jesus has done and is doing in this passage was and is, in fact, wonderful. Wonderful things that He is doing. There's nothing in His performance, nothing that He has or is performing that you could or anybody could condemn, could point and say, that is not a good thing that He is doing. We know that everything that He does is good. Amen? And so nobody could point at what Christ was doing and say that was not a good thing. Just like he said in Mark 7:27, we'd have to say that he hath done all things well. Just like Pilate said, when he was presenting them before the Jews, and he said, I find no fault in him. And we'll never find fault in Jesus. No matter what he's doing, no matter what he's performing, it's always going to be good. It's always going to be right in our life. That's why it would behoove us. That's why it would do us well to respond correctly to what he's doing. It'd do us good to submit to what he's doing, because he's the one that's doing the wonderful things, not us. When we get involved and we try to make our will done and make our will known, that's when things get all messed up. But Jesus, he does wonderful things. He always performs wonderfully. But you know, the sad truth is that not everybody likes it when Jesus starts performing. Not everybody, not even everybody in every independent Baptist church likes it when Jesus starts performing. Not everybody likes it. Now, everybody would say, oh yeah, we want to see the Lord work. I want the Lord to work in my life, and I want the Lord to work in my family, and we want the Lord to work in our church, and we want to see God do great things. But the truth is, when he does start doing things, and he does start working, not everybody likes it as much as they say they do, or say they will. And I tell you why, because Jesus doesn't always work in the way we think he will, or even the way we think he should. You know, that's why these scribes and Pharisees were sore displeased with the Lord, because he was not the Savior, he was not the Messiah they wanted. He didn't have the appearance that they wanted. He didn't do the things that they wanted. He didn't work in the way that they wanted and that they thought that he should. Hey, listen, the crowd that Jesus was reaching was not their crowd. Amen. Those religious Pharisees and those legalists and those scribes, I mean, the leaders of that day, listen, they were all about the pomp and the circumstance and the position and the notoriety and all those, the authority and all that stuff. And because Jesus was tearing all that down for them, boy, they were not happy about that. And because he was going after the low end of society, because he was going after the Samaritans and the sick and the lame, and because he was going after the lepers and going after the poor folk, and he was going after, I mean, really just anybody. He was going after everybody in every end of society, and not all those people were their crowd, and they weren't comfortable with that, and they didn't like it because it was not what they wanted. It didn't fit their criteria. And if we're not careful, we'll be the same way. We'll want Jesus to work, but we'll want him to work on our terms. We'll want the church to grow, but we'll want it to happen on our terms. We'll want people to get saved, but it'll be the people we want to get saved. It'll be the way we want it to happen. And the Lord, he just flat don't do it the way we want it done. He does it the way he wants it done. Amen. And so we see his performance. The Lord is performing and doing wonderful things. You know, whenever the Lord starts working and people start getting help, it don't matter if it's rich people or poor people. It don't matter if it's well-known people or unwell-known people. It doesn't matter if it's clean people or dirty people, people with a house or somebody that's homeless. It don't matter who it is or where they're in society. If the Lord gets to working and gets to dealing with people's lives and gets to doing things in your life, he gets to performing. The best thing we could do is back up and just say, Lord, just work, man. Just work. And hey, we'll get in with you and we'll work. Amen. And just let him perform. Because if anything's going to get done, it's going to be him performing. And everything he does is wonderful. He does wonderful things. So we see his performance. But then it says in the verse, it says the children, says they were crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. So not only do we see Christ and his performance, but we see Christ and we see the praise for Christ. We see that people were praising, specifically the children were praising. They were crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. That word Hosanna means oh, save, or to save. It's kind of like the same, a good illustration or a good example would be like whenever they say, God save the king. It's very similar to that. And so like when they were saying that in verse 9, it says, and the multitudes went before, followed crying, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You can see the similarity there. That's what that word means. And the children, they were crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were praising the Lord. They were fired up. I mean, they were excited about Jesus. You know, it's a great thing to have children praising Jesus. It's a great thing to have children. You know, it really, it's a great thing for all of us. But boy, it's a really great thing to have our children praising the Lord. It's a great thing to have our children serve the Lord, because He certainly deserves the praise. In this situation, Jesus certainly deserved the praise, wouldn't you think? He deserved it because of the wonderful things that He'd been doing. The greatest thing our children or any child could ever do is praise the Lord. The greatest thing they could ever do is throw in with Jesus. The greatest thing they could ever do is get with Him. See, and today, you know, children, they're praising Hollywood stars, sports stars, political stars, people that don't even deserve the praise. Now, there is a star they should be praising. There's a star that we should all be praising. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, called Him the star out of Jacob. Jesus is a star. Amen. And He's the one that should be praised. Amen. And He's the one that deserves the praise more than anyone else deserves the praise. But just like when He starts performing, not everybody likes it. Not everybody likes the way He performs. Not everybody likes the things He does when He starts performing. Not everybody likes who He starts performing in. The same way, not everybody likes it whenever He begins being praised. When people begin to praise Jesus. Now, I know that's probably not as big a deal around here. It's not as big an issue around here because we've been exposed to it. But there's some people out there who they've never been exposed to worship. They've never been exposed to vocal worship. And, I mean, they're okay. I mean, you know, they'll really give you the skunk eye if you, you know, say amen in a church service or you go to praise and we're talking good about the Lord and get excited about the Lord. And when He starts working, what normally it leads to praise. And not everybody likes it when He's being praised. Those scribes and Pharisees, the religious folks, sure didn't like it. You know why? Because they wanted the praise. They wanted the ones that were being praised. They wanted everybody to talk about what a man of God they were. What a great scribe they were. How respected they were. How revered they were. What a great, you know, leader they were. You know, that's what they wanted, the praise for themselves. And, you know, I think we all have to be careful we don't get that way. You know, anything we do from the Lord, if we never got one bit of praise or recognition for it this side of eternity, that wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter. Because He's the one that deserves the praise anyways. It's amazing how sometimes we can get so down because, you know, we look around and it's like, well, I've seen this a lot. I've seen, especially in small churches kind of like ours where, you know, in every church, the workload winds up falling on just kind of a small handful. We share it pretty good around here, so that's a blessing. But in every church, the work usually gets done by just a handful of people, all the work. And I've seen a lot of people get real discouraged because they look around and see what everybody else isn't doing. And we could all get that way. We could all look at what the world isn't doing and look at what everybody isn't doing, what everybody should be doing, when the truth is what we ought to be is just thankful that we get to do something. We ought to just be thankful and praise the Lord that we get to do anything. We ought to be just thankful and praise the Lord and not worry about what anybody else is or isn't doing. Just be thankful that God lets us do something because we sure don't deserve it. And you know, when we get that way, we're just like these scribes and these Pharisees. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm doing everything. And nobody else is doing anything. And nobody recognizes what I'm doing. And I'm just doing it. And I understand things can get discouraged and all those things. But the truth is, we're never more like these scribes and Pharisees than whenever we want the praise. We want praise for what we do when Jesus is the one who deserves the praise. Amen. And then so we see His performance. And then we see the praise for Christ with them. Again, it says they were sore displeased. And so what we see is we're provoking by Christ. Jesus Himself just being who he is provoked displeasure from this religious crowd. Really, the ones who really should have been miles ahead of anybody else spiritually, and yet they were really the most wicked of the bunch. Provoked displeasure. See, in spite of his performance and the wonderful things he was doing, and in spite of the praise and the fact that the children were praising, I mean, you really, think about these scribes and Pharisees and these religious leaders here. I mean, think about these chief priests. Think about really how excited they should have been seeing a generation of young people excited in God. And yet they were displeased by it because it was excited about. They should have been stirred up about it. But in spite of all those things, the religious crowd is displeased. Boy, that's so much like a lot of churches today. And if it's like a lot of church people today, too, if we're not careful. You know, Christ and his word, they're a blessing and they're a help for our children. They're a help for us and they're a help for our families and a help. They're a blessing, but some get all upset if he starts performing and being praised by other people. Most will say that they want to see him work, but again, it's got to be on their terms. As long as it's in their comfort zone. You realize that the Lord may and likely will, if we're following Him and we're sensitive to Him, He likely will move all of us out of our comfort zone throughout our spiritual life. Likely is going to move every person here tonight that's saved to the leading of the Holy Spirit. If He hasn't already, He's going to work and He's going to be pushing you outside of what you're comfortable with. All of us, he's going to do that, teaching us to walk by faith. And so since he wasn't in their comfort zone, the chief priests and the scribes, they didn't like it. They were displeased. And this is why the chief priests and scribes, this is why they got upset, because he wasn't what they wanted when they should have been concerned with what he wanted. And so the Lord, he wants to work in my life and in your life and in our church and in all of our families and all these things. But what we have to remember is that the way he works, the way he performs, the things that he does, it may not be the way you want it to be, or it may not be what you think it will be. And so the question is, how are we going to respond to it? How are we going to respond? Are we going to respond like the chief priests and scribes with displeasure? Or are we just going to say, you know, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. My will, but thine be done. Because he, if you're saved, he's going to be working in all of our lives. He's going to be performing. And the best thing we could ever do is let him perform and praise him for what he does, because everything he does is wonderful. They're wonderful things. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I thank you for helping us tonight. Thank you for letting us be together in these days. Lord, I thank you for letting us come and to pray and spend some time in the Word of God. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord, just to take maybe even a simple little thought. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to apply it to our hearts and our lives. Help us all, Lord, to be conscious and, Lord, careful. Lord, that we wouldn't respond to you and your workings and your dealings in our life with sore displeasure, Lord, like these religious people in your days. Lord, help us, God, to be submissive to you, Lord. The things that you do in our life, Lord, the ways that you work and the things that you, Lord, move out of our lives, the things that you add to our lives, Lord, it's not even always comfortable the way you have to do it, the way you have to work. But, Lord, we know that it's for our good and for your glory. We know that you know best. You are an all-wise, all-knowing God. And, Lord, you love us and you care about us. And, Lord, the things you perform, the things you do, they're always wonderful things. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be sensitive and submissive to your workings. Help us to respond to you, Lord, in the right way whenever you perform in our life. Lord, I pray that you would bless us now, Lord, as we close the service. Bless us in the rest of the week. Help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be the witnesses and be the Christians you want us to be in these days. Lord, I pray that you'd prepare our hearts even now for what you want to do this coming Lord's Day, and that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, and may your will be done amongst us, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen.